and then.
Yeah.
I don't need 12, you know, I need, I can use 11.
There you go.
I'll call to order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is February 25th, 2015. We're convening for the purposes of public testimony and a public hearing on Senate Bill 5542, the budget of the Oregon Youth Authority. So let me open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5542. Linda, anything that you would like to lead off with?
Given that we have a great number of people who wish to testify, it would be really good to stay to 3 minutes, and I do have a timer, and it will go ding.
That's great, because otherwise we'll have to come back for a second day, and that would throw our schedule off quite a bit. So that being said, why don't we bring up Representative Andy Olson first to lead off.
He's in the hallway.
Oh, wow. You do want to get grilled, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Welcome to the committee, Rep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Andy Olson, and I'm state representative out of Albany, and I'm just here to speak on behalf of my perspective of Oregon Youth Authority. And honestly, I got to tell you, I have been deeply involved with them over the last couple of years. But you can't help but walk away to see the successes that they've accomplished over the years. It's incredible. You know, part of House Bill 3194 that we were considering at one time, the original piece was the age out. And the age out being, well, when you have somebody that's in OIA that's under Department of Corrections authority, and they hit age 25, and they still maybe have a couple years left of their sentence, they move on to the Department of DOC land. Well, we had a bill that we were kind of looking at, or a portion of that bill. How does that play out, you know, and what's happened to the individual themselves at that point that does that merit that? Well, you know, unfortunately, that's generally always a Measure 11 crime, and you do have to finish that out. So that's that. But to watch, to see the transformation of the folks that are in there for offenders is totally incredible. Last December, I had an opportunity to go out to Hillcrest to watch the boys of all the different facilities across the state join in together and play basketball. And it was fun to sit down and just visit with a couple of them and to see how they've changed. I mean, there's a great scene in Shawshank Redemption where Morgan Freeman is at the tail end, and you probably have all seen it, and you get it, but he's served 40 years in prison, and he's in front of the parole board, and they ask him two simple questions. Have you been rehabilitated, and are you sorry? And he says, I wish I could go back in time and grab that kid that committed that terrible crime and just shake him, you know, and cause him to see now to where I'm at today. That is what I've seen with a number of the folks in OIA for the offenders. And that's why I'm saying, at the same time as I close here with this, you know, co-chairs and committee members, that I think it's extremely important to reinstate what you can for the loss of FTEs 2 years ago to OIA. That would greatly benefit where we want to go for helping out the future of our state as well as for offenders. So.
Thank you, Representative. Good testimony. Any questions? We'll let you get back to committee. Thank you, Representative. Could please bring up Kathleen Fullerton, Noah Schultz, and Commissioner Jay. Well, let's just do those two because we've only got two chairs up. Kathleen Fullerton and Noah Schultz. On deck will be Commissioner Jay Dixon and Doug Dryden. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, chairpersons and committee members. I'm Kathleen Fullerton. I am the project coordinator of HOPE Partnership with Janice Youth Programs. So I'm here to support the OIA budget as Janice Youth Programs stakeholder. Janice Youth Programs is one of the largest agencies in the state for high-risk youth and young adults, and we've been a partner with OIA since OIA's creation. They currently serve juvenile sex offenders ages 14 to 24, and we have three transitional houses serving young men transitioning from close custody. But I'm really here to talk about a innovative and courageous program that occurs within the closed custody facility, the HOPE Partnership. This program exemplifies the leadership of OIA Director Fairborz Pakharesht to develop a high-performing, reformative, and transformative juvenile justice system. HOPE Partnership is youth-created and continues to be youth-owned and directed to bring in workshops and groups focusing on the arts, opportunities for developing life skills and vocational training, and access to transition and reentry support. We engage community partners to develop pro-social leisure activities and create community connections. Our volunteers are professionals, experienced, award-winning, and have standing in their community. We provide access to restorative justice processes and nonviolent communication skills and leadership and community organizing, so the youth then bring ownership to their close custody community and a belief that these skills will transfer back to their home communities. The research on connection is the foundation on HOPE Partnership, as it is deeply embedded in the purposeful direction of OIA. Connection through the restorative justice lens is what compels us to repair harm and propels a more fully formed young man back to the community. NOI youth in custody currently and who will continue on to DOC has expressed it this way. It's a catalyst for personal and professional development. It does much more than help discover talents and maximize capabilities. It reminds participants that instead of using a weapon or drugs to combat daily struggles, they have a choice instead to pick up a paintbrush, a pencil, or a microphone to add value to their community. So your support of the OIA budget demonstrates a belief in and a support for this cutting-edge leadership in the paradigm shift, one workshop at a time, to community connection and reformation, which ultimately serves not just the youth in our care and custody, but to the families and community of Oregon to which they will return. And you are cordially invited to come sit in on a workshop and meet our volunteers and youth who are doing the work every day.
Thank you.
Representatives and community members, my name is Noah Schultz, and I am president of Youth HOPE Partnership Youth Council. I'm here today to serve as a testament to the life-changing process the HOPE Partnership has had in my life, but more importantly, the lives of the 142 that are served on the McLaren campus. When you hear my voice today, I don't want you to just see me, I want you to see the 142 people that are still on the McLaren campus, the people that can't make it here today, to envision that. The guys that have life in prison that can never leave the facility, I want you to envision that. Now, I was sentenced to 7.5 years in OIA custody at the age of 17. When I was 18, I went to the McLaren campus. Having left the gang life, I was struggling to find a new sense of character, to find who I was as a person. The HOPE Partnership gave me the platform to rebuild my character, to find myself, to discover the new opportunities and talents that I had inside. It raised my self-confidence and self-esteem, but more importantly, help me discover my future. Help me discover that I have the potential to be an agent for change in whatever community that I lie in, be it the McLaren community or the Portland community. Now, I've seen people in the McLaren campus who hate each other, rival gang members, come together for a common cause and hope groups. I've seen people avoid fights to come to HOPE Partnership groups. And the beautiful thing about it is, no matter who you are or what's your interests, there is a place for you in the HOPE Partnership, and they will welcome you like family. Now, the man who came in, the boy who came into McLaren facility at the age of 18, and the man I am today are completely different, as you can imagine. And I have some high school teachers that still come and visit me. Now, these are the people who have seen me at my worst, and they've asked me, what is it that made you change? What is your catalyst for change? And the answer is simple. Support. Community. Opportunity and education. And you take all four of those foundations, put them all together, and you will have the HOPE Partnership. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Well done. Any questions? All right, next panel. Jay Dixon and Doug Dryden. On deck, Marilyn Johnson and Barry Shapiro. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Senator Shields, members of the committee, thank you for giving us the time to talk with you today. I'm Benton County Commissioner Jay Dixon. I'm co-chair of the Association of Oregon County's Public Safety Committee and vice chair of Oregon's Youth Development Council. I'm here to support the budget request of the Oregon Youth Authority. In particular, I ask that you support those efforts that will get kids out of close custody and return them to the community where treatment is less expensive and more effective. So I ask that you support OIA's Youth Reformation System, which uses data, research, and predictive analytics and includes a community component in determining the best alternatives for kids who are OIA clients. I ask that you support the Feeder System Study, which promotes early intervention to keep kids out of the juvenile justice system, and that you support the Positive Human Development, which stresses rewards for positive behavior rather than sanctions for negative behavior. In addition, I ask that OIA continue to provide payments to county juvenile departments to support diversion and basic services. In our county, those funds support our intensive probation program that aims to keep youth out of OIA placements, helps fund our community service program that holds youth accountable and teaches work skills and provides individual services such as sex offender treatment. All of these efforts are less expensive and, in my view, more effective than incarceration. As the co-chair of the AOC Public Safety Committee, I look forward to continuing to be part of the conversation with OIA. I know that you have many requests to fulfill and limited resources, but this is an opportunity to continue to make a difference in the lives of youth and the people around them. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Madam Chairman, members of the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. My name is Doug Dryden. I'm here as a chief steward for SEIU Local 415, which is in affiliation with the Oregon Youth Authority. I live in Philomath, and I work at the Oak Creek Youth Correctional Facility in Albany. I'm never fond of reading PowerPoint slides or handouts to educated people, so allow us to submit our comments. I'll just briefly paraphrase them. As you know, youth corrections counselors of the Oregon Youth Authority have the mission of holding youth accountable. But more importantly, we're charged with providing their treatment and educational needs that make them viable and contributing members of our communities. Both our union and the management of OIA enjoy a healthy and productive working relationship. Even in our most contentious issues, we have forged a professional understanding and respect. The plan significantly corrects the problem of our aging and costly infrastructure that exists from one degree or another in all our facilities. Most importantly, it consolidates the two oldest and costliest problems by moving the Hillcrest program to a renovated McLaren facility. The closure of the Hillcrest campus is clearly difficult for many of our members, but we understand that it's simply not feasible to maintain two aging facilities at half occupancy. There are certainly many details to be worked out between our union and the agency in this process, but we're confident we can successfully implement this plan that reduces the density of youth in the living units while maintaining current staffing levels. This enhances the staff-to-youth ratio, makes our direct care program more effective, and brings the agency more in line with successful national trends in other states. And not only is this fiscally prudent, but more importantly, it improves the safety, security, and treatment balance. We urge you all to support and fund this important initiative. Thank you for your time and kindly consideration.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your testimony. Marilyn Johnson and Barry Shapiro on deck, Kathy Berger and Lane Borg. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Thank you, co-chairs and committee members. My name is Barry Shapiro. I'm a graphic designer and photographer, a teacher. For over 10 years, I've been working to bring art to at-risk youth. I taught photography as part of the first art and poetry program about 5 years ago at Hillcrest. It literally changed my life. Almost a year later, the opportunity to teach the art and poetry program at Oak Creek in Albany came up. Although they are both OYA facilities, they are, for me, like night and day. Where the young men tend to keep their emotions and thoughts tucked in, the young women are open, sharing their stories and their pain. Girls are different. There have been 3 art and poetry projects at Oak Creek so far. A 4th is scheduled for next month. Marilyn and I work together. Marilyn is a poet and a writing teacher. The program at Hillcrest was funded through the Salem Art Association. The Oak Creek projects are funded through the Corvallis Art Center. These are not state-funded programs. The work from each program has been publicly exhibited, and accompanying books chronicling the individual programs have been created. I come bearing gifts. Over the course of my teaching, I have gotten to know some of the young women. I've also gotten to know some of the staff, the superintendent at Oak Creek, and the executive director of the OYA. From the top down, they are incredibly compassionate, as you all know, caring and capable. I have witnessed young women grow and evolve. I've seen posture change and confidence grow, but that's just a part of it. Last June, I had the honor to attend the high school graduation at Oak Creek, where 29 young women received their diplomas. Not GEDs, but diplomas. It was a moving testament to the high level of work that goes into the facility. I taught photography classes at Oak Creek over the holidays in December. There were some young women who had been released who were back. They had served their sentences but were not quite ready to re-enter the world. Ongoing treatment and transitional programming is critical. What the staff and administrators do to instill confidence and well-being in the young women is nothing short of miraculous. I can only imagine how much more could be accomplished if the facility was more dedicated to treatment and education. The difference the OYA makes in these young lives is considerable. And with your help and vision, it can be much more so. Thank you.
Chair and members of the committee, I'm Marilyn Johnston. As Barry said, we're a team that goes in to Oak Creek of late, and I have done work at Hillcrest. I, like the other speakers have mentioned, that you know we can't afford to waste one of the human potential of any of these youth. It has been a miraculous time for us too, and in other ways that we have seen the skills of these young people. And we have been lucky in that we've been able to coach them in a way that they've never been able to have a positive reinforcement, some of them, for positive activities. The books that you'll receive, the chairs, we think that it's a testament to the kind of value that they have in the world, and we have had the privilege to see that up close. Some of the stories are not pretty. We don't know when we go in why they're there, and it's really a blessing that we don't, because we start, in my case, with a blank piece of paper and a pen, and they get to write what's something that they can tell themselves as well as the rest of us, lives that are filled with ways that we can't even imagine, a mother who is shooting up with their child, these children who are also parents in some cases. But we get to start and work with them like the children that they still are, and bringing out the words that they have no other way to say. When we see them leave, we are always happy. It's one of those rare times as a teacher when you say, I hope I never see you here again. And there's not many classes you can go in and say that and really believe it. I encourage you everything you can. We are fortunate to be able to go in through the auspices of a partnership with OYA. We would love to see more of the resources come from within the organization as they would, and also to continue the work we're doing outside that is hopefully value added. Thank you for your caring for these young people, that every life is valuable. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions for this panel? Thank you. We bring up Tori Lynn and Jeff Milligan on deck. I'm sorry, Kathy Berger and Lane Borg on deck. Tori Lynn and Jeff Milligan.
We're just going to skip over you guys.
It's not like it's never happened before.
Not in my committee. Thanks.
No, you go ahead.
Thank you.
Chairs, members of the committee, my name is Kathy Berger. I'm a lawyer from Portland who has spent the vast majority of my professional life representing juveniles who end up at the Oregon Youth Authority, at both in out of custody and in custody. And I started representing juveniles in 1990, and our juvenile justice system at that time was severely broken. Since then, I have been at McLaren, Hillcrest, all of the actual regional facilities. I've spoken to youth that have been at those. I've also had to sit down and talk to parents whose children were going to those facilities. And for the first time, I can honestly say that when I sit down and talk to parents now, I can tell them that their child is going someplace that they don't need to fear for the safety of their child, that there is a lot going on, and if their child wants to take advantage of it, there is a lot of good that can happen with them. I can tell them that the staff and administration at the Oregon Youth Authority wants to help the parents to help their children, and that the parents' input will be recognized and celebrated. The youth reformation system that the Oregon Youth Authority is putting in, I cannot speak highly enough for. What they're doing is they're taking data and figuring out where kids should be at what time and what services should they get. Before that, it was kind of guess. You know, kids were sent to a program because their juvenile court counselor knew somebody who worked at that program, and they might be able to get them in. They needed a bed, and they'd find a bed for the kid. And then when the child failed because the program was not the appropriate program for the child, we all blamed the child. And when you are a child and you're hearing that from the adults in your life, that colors how you see yourself, and it colors how you see the world around you and your place in that world. And that's what teenagers are going through. They're trying to figure out where their place is in the world. When you walk into a youth correctional facility now, what you see are kids that have hope. Kids that are being told, look, you can go ahead and do these negative behaviors, and you're going to get negative consequences for that. But if you do these positive behaviors, there are a lot of benefits that are going to come from that. And that's how all of us would want to raise our children. And the state of Oregon has some obligation to these kids to help raise them to be law-abiding citizens. I also would support the 10-year program of the building thing because they need the physical space that's going to accomplish what they're looking for at the youth reformation system.
I like that legal term, the building thing.
Building thingy.
Thingy. Buildings.
Mr. Borg, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. I will be short, and we can wrap this up in our combined 6 minutes. I'm reflecting on the fact that this is the 20th year of the implementation of Ballot Measure 11. And a law, because I've been a lawyer now 30 years, and it's a law that I have hated from the beginning, think is a harsh and draconian response to crime, especially as it relates to juveniles. And I realize that's also not shared universally in this room. And I also realize that is the law, that Measure 11 is the law of Oregon and has been reaffirmed by the voters. And so it is the law we deal with. But the other thing that happened 20 years ago was the implementation of OYA. And it has, you know, my professional life has not been around juvenile representation. I, in my current position as executive director of Metropolitan Public Defenders, supervise people who do juvenile work in both Washington County and Multnomah County. But really, it's been the privilege I've had to serve on commissions for the state on the Public Safety Task Force and being on the subcommittee that Representative Olson was talking about earlier, where I really got exposure to the really transformative work that the leadership of OIA does. And so my message simply is, if we have to have Measure 11, and I would not recommend any state have Measure 11, especially as it applies to juveniles, we have an obligation to have OIA and to fully fund it because of the really good transformative work it does with these children that we are incarcerating.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Tori Lynn and Jeff Milligan on deck, Rachel Pearl, Tiava Anderson, and Julia Anderson.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, Tory Lynn will be here. He's on his way, so I will not stall for time, but he will be here shortly.
We'll let him testify a little bit later.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to testify on in support of the Oregon Youth Authority's budget. I'm here representing the Central and Eastern Oregon Juvenile Justice Consortium, which is a group of 17 counties in Central and Eastern Oregon who have been working together in a regional approach since actually 1986. But if you remember the slide that the Deputy Director, Joe O'Leary, showed about money coming to counties for diversion, we take that diversion money and pool it. So we then are able to purchase diversion resources that the counties can share that no one could have afforded by themselves. And so we've been doing that in partnership with the Youth Authority. Research that was done recently by the Youth Authority looked at this question of, aren't the youth in Central Eastern Oregon, rural counties, aren't they like less serious than urban kids, you know? And so they did a research which showed that although the numbers were lower, we have fewer youth in that area, obviously, but the profiles are the same as urban youth. And actually a couple categories like alcohol, drug use were actually higher than the profiles of, one of the things we're very appreciative of is the Youth Authority works with us on what we feel is a fairness and equity issue, that just because you live in a rural community, you don't forfeit access to certain basic services when you're in trouble. We have a 61,000 square mile area with very limited resources. So working in partnership with the Youth Authority, you see partnership on a lot of brochures and reports to the legislature, but this group really does partnerships in real. We meet with them on a quarterly basis with the top administration of OIA along with our 17 county directors, and actually look at how we can co-manage and work together to improve the system by maximizing really limited resources and creating resources by real thinking outside the box. And we're very appreciative of OIA really being a true partner in creating resources and making sure the resources that are current to the youth's perspectives. I would just in closing really want to echo the same testimony that Commissioner Jay Dixon did on behalf of the Association of Oregon Counties. All of the things that he talked about, we really support the youth reformation system and the new tools that are being created, because that lets us in an environment of very limited resources to look at managing the risks certain kids have with the needs that they have at the right time, the right youth, the right resources at the right time. And that has really helped us maximize very limited resources. So I thank you for this. I heard the bell go. I was looking to go to the light, but the light's not there. thank you so
subtle.
Much. And I would just, in ending, there's been several people, and you'll hear more, wanting to, you know, to fund more. I would consider any funding of the resource an investment rather than an expense, because they really, along with the community partners that you've heard and will continue to hear, it will be maximized, you know, as an investment. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
I gave written testimony to your staff here.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Rachel Pearl, Tiava Anderson, and Julia Anderson.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Pearl. I'm the program coordinator for the Community Connections Program at the Clackamas County Juvenile Department. I'm going to be talking briefly about one of our programs that receives JCP funding before you hear from one of our incredible youth leaders who will be much more fun and amazing than I could ever hope to be. So Green Corps Fresh Start is just one example of a successful program implemented by the Clackamas County Juvenile Department. Green Corps is a job training program for youth that provides four tracks using a sustainable social enterprise model. We have a small farm where youth learn horticulture and farming, and we also sell produce at the Oregon City Farmers Market. And in addition to that, we have a community-sponsored ag share, so a CSA, that we sell to community members. At the market and other events, we also have the Fresh Start Cart, which is our coffee and smoothie business. We have a firewood business and a bike repair business. Green Corps has blended funding from OIA Basic and Diversion Funds, matched funds from the county level juvenile department, and funding from community partners. We stretch each dollar as far as we can and collaborate with community partners to provide a life-changing experience for our youth participants. We have established a strong list of partners who not only provide funding for the program, but also staff portions of the program. OSU Extension has been our partner in developing and implementing this program since we started 5 years ago. They provide leadership, funding, and farm training on our farm. Our other main partner for Green Corps is Schoolyard Farms. Schoolyard Farms provides accounting training and oversight, farm training and internships, and leadership support to the program. Another example of how the community supports Green Corps is our bike repair track, which is completely funded and staffed by the Recycle Bike Ministry in Oregon City. We have business owners that train youth and provide internship opportunities. On Point Credit Union provides financial responsibility classes. Clackamas Women's Services provides healthy relationship classes. And we also partner with garden clubs and the farm community throughout our county. Youth also receive college credit for the program through the Smart Internship opportunity provided at Clackamas Community College. These connections help youth develop the skills they need, but also lasting relationships with people in their community who can be supports for them and networks for them as they transition into adulthood. Green Corps has been a highly successful program since its inception. We have continued to grow and we improve every year. The last 2 years, we've developed a strong relationship with Starbucks and have now been able to assist youth in transitioning from Green Corps into a full-time job with Starbucks. We had a young lady last year who was facing homelessness towards the end of the program. We were able to get her a job with Starbucks working full-time, receiving benefits, and now being able to have Starbucks pay for her to get her bachelor's degree. She quickly moved into a shift supervisor position, and she has her own apartment and is able to take care of herself. These are the stories we want. These are the stories that we continue to see from our graduates. Green Corps is a financially responsible, sustainable, creative, and innovative program that uses collaborative funding, including revenue, to provide an opportunity for youth to stand on their own 2 feet and move forward. This program is just one example of how counties are maximizing the state's basic funding to enhance service levels and sustain community involvement with our youth. I have given a copy of our portfolio that youth graduates receive when they're done with the program. We think it's pretty amazing, and youth feel really confident when they're able to go to an employer in an interview and have that with them. But I'm going to introduce Tiava Anderson, who's one of our graduates and an amazing and resilient and strong young woman who reserves the right to change her mind all the time. And I'm just really proud of her. So I'll turn it over to her.
Welcome to the committee.
Hello. My name is Tiava Anderson. I'm 17 years old. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the journey that led me here today. Looking back, I remember starting to struggle in school at age 9. My teacher would yell at me when I didn't understand something, and I began to think differently about adults, and I started not to trust them. School became really hard for me, so I started skipping all the time. My mom wanted me to go to school, and that caused us to argue a lot. By seventh grade, I was drinking and smoking weed, and at that point, I completely dropped out of middle school. After dropping out, I started hanging out with really unhealthy people. I started using meth when I was 14. I felt I had no future and that I was going to go nowhere with my life. Looking back on that now, it's really hard for me to even believe how awful things were for me. I mean, it was really bad. Who could think it could get any worse? But it did. By 15, I was using anything I could get my hands on. I stopped coming home after most of the time, and I was making really dangerous choices. I wanted to get clean. I tried on my own, but then I started drinking again. I couldn't get it together. I finally got caught and ended up dealing with the Clackamas County Juvenile Department, which I will now tell you saved my life. I went to a residential program in which helped me learn skills, manage my behavior, and took me out of the environment so I could get clean. This opportunity was like a reset button for me, and I came back in a healthy state of mind. After residential, I was given the chance to work for Green Corps. I would describe my experience with Green Corps as an opportunity to see my own value and learn how much potential I truly have. Green Corps taught me accountability, communication skills, how to resolve conflict in a healthy way, leadership, and that I'm an important part of my community. Green Corps helped me gain trust for adults as well as developing healthy and supportive relationships with my peers. All of that, and now I have a fabulous resume, letters of recommendation, an amazing portfolio that shows people what I can and have accomplished. Wow, right? That girl became this girl? I can truly say I am awesome. I am confident. I am a great friend. I am responsible. I am a good role model for my little sister, a good daughter to my mother. I feel like I have my life back. I was on track to get my GED, but I have decided to go back to high school and graduate. I went to go to college for cosmetology. I went from having no future to looks bright and healthy. The opportunity of both residential and Green Corps helped me stand in front of you guys. And I don't even want to think where I would have been like from now. It's important that these programs are continued to be funded to help kids that were like me change back. It's important to me that these programs continue to be funded because I want people to be able to have the chance to restart itself. So thank you for having me here.
Awesome testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Hi, my name is Julie Anderson. I'm Tiava's mom. And 2 years ago, I had a child that was out of control, and I didn't know what to do. And these programs are a godsend. They teach them so many skills.
I can't even imagine where my child would be today if they didn't have these programs. She's turned into an amazing child, a woman, because of these programs. She's learned accountability, responsibility, maturity. And I can safely say that she's going to move forward and do good things. These programs need the funding. And all children need to have a second chance. They all make wrong choices, and some of them get them spiraling so out of control that they don't know how to get back. And that's what these programs do, is help them get back on track and get a fresh start and become amazing adults. Thank you.
Excellent testimony. Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Thank you so much for coming to tell your story. It means so much to the committee.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right. I believe Tori Lynn has showed up. Is that correct?
I did. Thank you.
See,
we won't mark you tardy.
Thank you very much. I had the distinct opportunity to, my daughter was a Chamber of Commerce Student of the Month this month, so those are the ones of the things you can't miss, you know, as a parent. So
amen.
Appreciate the committee's leniency with my tardiness. Co-Chair Shields and Williamson and members of the committee, my name is Tori Lynn. I'm the director for the Linn County Juvenile Department. I'm also the legislative chair for the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association. I'm here today to support the recommended budget for Oregon Youth Authority. You know, I've been asked a couple times by legislators as I've met in the building, how is the relationship with OIA going? And that seems to be a question that's been asked, and I'm here today to tell you that that relationship is very well, going very well. I think we're all working very hard to improve communications, improve trust, and improve our system for the youth that we're working with. The county juvenile departments serve the majority of youth in the juvenile justice system in our communities with county funding. So the amount of money that we get from the Oregon Youth Authority, through the Oregon Youth Authority from the state, is a small amount of funding as a percentage-wise of their budget. It's just around 4% of their budget. That funding is essential for county services as we do serve those youth in our communities and as a piece of that continuum. We all know that the kids that we keep out of OIA are the ones that save us a lot of dollars and make those improvements within our own communities. The three major funding streams that we get through the Oregon Youth Authority are juvenile crime prevention basic service dollars. Those dollars are spent on things like detention services, shelter care, treatment services, graduated sanctions, aftercare, diversion dollars. That funding is targeted towards youth 12 to 18 years old, adjudicated on a Class A misdemeanor or higher, and are identified as being at high risk to be committed to a youth correctional facility. Some of those services include detention, shelter care, youth-specific treatment, drug and alcohol treatment, mental health treatment, gang interventions, family functioning, sex offender treatment. And we get individualized service dollars, which is really targeted on youth that are 12 to 18 who have been adjudicated delinquent. That money is intended to provide services that can't be paid for with any other kind of funding. So they don't have county funding or health insurance or some of those things that would help aid in some of those restorative services provided. Oregon is very progressive in the juvenile justice information system, as you've heard some of that in the presentations the last couple days with the Oregon Youth Authority. That is a system that's really essential to the services that we provide as we move forward. Being able to have a system where county departments and the state are both using the same systems, it builds that continuum of care for youth that we're working with, so that as youth, hopefully not moving forward, but as some youth do move forward in the program, that history is built and everyone has the same information. As we look at individual services in counties, that information system, as you heard, will need some extra support in coming years as a new platform. One of the things as we move more into technology and the electronic and paperless systems is, you know, how do we access those services without sitting at a desk? In the counties, we really try hard to have our workers out in the community, working in schools, working with kids in the community. And so how can we be able to access that information that's critical to our work without sitting at our desk? The OIA and the Juvenile Department directors have been working together on a shared vision, trying to come up with, you know, as we move through and have different, we're going to have differences in opinions, and how do we work through that with that common knowledge and understanding that we're here for the right reasons, and, you know, those are really about kids and the services that we can provide. Again, as you've heard the last couple of days, the YRS system, Youth Reformation System, again, is another project that OIA is working on, but does have a big impact on what we do in the counties as well. The tools that have been developed, the opportunity to have different conversations, you know, and as you hear about actuarial tools, there is that worry about we're just kind of putting kids in a, you know, in a certain category based upon a tool. You know, it's just, it adds more to the conversation. It provides us with additional information. We don't ever want to take away professional discretion. That's critically important as we do our work and have had that training.
Tori, I hate to interrupt, but we've got a whole bunch of other people, and you weren't here for the part that where we told people we're going to limit it to 3 minutes. So if you wouldn't mind, please summarizing. We do have your written testimony.
Absolutely.
That'll be part of the record.
I'll just take an opportunity to also recognize Director Pacharet, that his leadership with OYA and the development of, you know, improving communication and partnership with the juvenile directors, I think is making a big impact in the state of Oregon as we move forward and, you know, all of us working together to try and improve systems for kids. So,
great. Any questions for Tori? Thank you very much for your testimony. Sorry I had to cut you short.
That's okay.
Could we please bring up Francis Mayer and Judge Weller? Oh, yes, right. On deck, we have Karen Nibbler and Mark McKechnie.
Well, go ahead. Good afternoon, co-chairs Shields and Williamson, members of the committee. My name is Nan Waller. I'm a judge in Multnomah County, and for many years I was on the Oregon Youth Authority Advisory Council and have continued, even though now presiding judge, my involvement and concern about how the juvenile system is working. I'm here today because I've had the opportunity to really see firsthand the good work that OYA continues to do. Multnomah County benefits from the basic diversion and gang funds to keep those youth in the community who should be in the community, and then knows when the handoff is made to OYA that the work will be done in a way that is consistent. Both Multnomah County and I think probably many other juvenile departments and OYA are looking at the work that has been done under the auspices of OJJDP to look at a developmental approach to reforming juvenile justice, which is really the work that has been done is remarkable in terms of giving us a blueprint of what works, bringing the best minds in the country together. And I'm very pleased that OYA and the juvenile department are both consistent in that approach as we move forward in looking at our juvenile justice system. You've had the opportunity to see and hear from NOAA this afternoon. Last week, we all had the opportunity to see the benefit of the education and programming of OYA when then Governor Kitzhaber, as his last official duty, gave clemency to Tsang Dao, who is a remarkable young man. He was my young man when he was still a juvenile before his Measure 11 charge, and he is truly remarkable. And while he the work was his, it could not have been done without the support and the programming that he received in OYA. Noah, you heard this afternoon, Robert, Stefan, they are all remarkable young men who, given the support in OYA, we will have productive members of our community. OYA last year went to the trouble of making sure that community members, policy leaders, had the opportunity to interact with these young men, which is certainly informative as you are looking at what works, to have people like Robert, Stefan, Tsang, Noah as part of the conversation. So Stefan and Robert participated in Mayor Hale's Black Male Achievement visioning sessions for 3 Saturdays, which was quite a feat for OYA to accomplish. So I want to commend OYA for the good work that they are doing in supporting those youth who get to them, and then for working collaboratively with the counties, and certainly in Multnomah County, it has been a great year of collaboration with OYA to make sure that we have a consistent approach and opportunities within the community for our very diverse community in Multnomah County, opportunities to have youth staying in the community, have access to the level of intense supports that they need. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Co-Chair Senator Shields, Representative Williamson, committee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I'm Francis Marr. I'm the Executive Director at St. Mary's Home for Boys, located in Beaverton, Oregon. I've been with the agency for 19 years now. Our organization was founded in 1889, so we're celebrating our 126th anniversary this year. I've been a small part of that. Over the last nearly 2 decades, I've seen a pervasive but subtle and accretive shift in a population that was primarily conduct disordered
an oppositional defiant into one that is much more emotionally disturbed, primarily manifests through post-traumatic stress disorder and reactive attachment disorders. In a recent ACEs study administered to 67 of our boys, 46% had experienced domestic violence, and 85% had an ACEs score of 4 or more. The mean was 6.1, and the MODE, or most typical score, was 8. So in this sense, my population is, in fact, the 20% of Oregonians that will end up consuming 80% of the mental, behavioral, and physical health care dollars down the road. In this sense, our relationship with OIA is one that is highly synergistic. Their focus on the positive youth development and the youth reformation system is moving upstream in ways that we have not done before, and it's one that, I certainly support. I feel that it is a first-rate organization and a solid return on investment. I thank you for the opportunity to say a few positive words.
Thank you for your testimony and questions for this panel. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
We please bring up Karen Nibbler, Mark McKechnie on desk, Alice
Beal.
And Jimmy.
Chair Shields and Chair Williamson, my name is Karen Nibbler. I represent the League of Women Voters of Oregon, and I've come here many times to talk to you about these programs. The League is interested in juvenile justice, and in particular, their philosophies or positions are that youth offenders should be placed in the least restrictive program with education and treatment services available. And we've been very pleased that OIA has offered both educational and treatment services in their program. And we support the new youth reformation system within Oregon Youth Authority. And we're particularly pleased to see the collection of data that they're doing and the research projects that they've been collecting. And we particularly want to see how some of their data works out or some of their research projects in terms of the effectiveness of the length of stay. Because as League people, we are concerned about these youth offenders that have committed to the adult system and the length of stay that has been at this at these institutions, and we think that a shorter length of stay is probably more effective. We support funding for the building projects that are coming up, and also we support the funding for the county juvenile departments and the OIA parole workers in the communities. And we believe that effective supervision and sanctions can reduce the juvenile's progression into the system and ending up in the institution. So we particularly want spending on the local level so that you can prevent having more kids sent to the facilities. And the counties particularly rely on this funding for the sanctions. So it's particularly important that they continue to receive these funds. And I was formerly a worker in the county juvenile department, so I can say that with some credibility. The other thing is I have seen the McLaren and Hillcrest campuses, and I've been on that campus before, and particularly McLaren is full of old buildings. I mean, I actually worked there when I was 18, and these buildings were old then, and they also had some new buildings then, which are deteriorating now. So I mean, I know from personal experience that this campus needs this reconstruction, and I hope that somehow you can find in your budgets the bonding, you know, to have that that reconstruction and updating be done. So thank you very much.
Mark, welcome to the committee.
Thank
Co-chairs Shields and Williamson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark McKechnie. I'm the executive director of Youth Rights and Justice, formerly known as the Juvenile Rights Project. I know that many of you are familiar with us, but just for a reminder, for this 2015 session, we represent about 1,000 children and youth in Multnomah County at any given time, and we've represented over 50,000 since we were founded 40 years ago in 1975. About 20% of our clients at any given time are involved in the juvenile justice system. You know, in some sense, it's a failure for us if one of our clients ends up in the Oregon Youth Authority, because our job, one of our jobs is to try to keep them out. And fortunately, there are many resources, many more resources today than there were 20 years ago to help facilitate that and serve more youth in the community. And I believe there were some observations made in a previous hearing about the success in some counties in keeping youth local and not having to utilize the Oregon Youth Authority as the deep end of the system. And certainly the request that OIA has made will help support and further those efforts, and hopefully we can minimize the number of youth who are sent to the Oregon Youth Authority, particularly at a time like this when juvenile crime and crime overall is at a historic low level. But when there are youth who are sent to the Oregon Youth Authority, it's also very reassuring to know that they are taking a scientific approach to applying the right service at the right time in the right amount, and using vast amounts of data that they've collected to determine what the right fit for the right youth is at the right time. And something that I particularly appreciate, having gone through similar efforts in the children's mental health system about 10 years ago, is avoiding the overuse of institutionalized care. I think we have often had the attitude that if some is good, more is better. And that is not true for incarceration and institutionalization. Often less is more, often the least is the best. And having the kind of system to allow the Oregon Youth Authority to make data-driven decisions and release youth, those youth that they have the discretion to release, at the optimal time when they can be most successful, when they've derive the maximum benefit from the services that are available in closed custody and can move on to other services, is very important. And it's reassuring to know that our clients and other youth like them who are sent to the Youth Authority have access to that system now that will only develop over time and I think become better and more robust. And I also just wanted to add our appreciation in particular for the direction of the 10-year plan, that one of the goals is to reduce the use of isolation for youth. That's been a practice over decades. It's been very concerning to us and many others, the damaging effects that frequent and long-term isolation can have on youth. And it's reassuring as well that part of the planning that OIA has done is to minimize the youth and to upgrade and modernize any facilities that might be used for keeping youth away from the population for a temporary period of time. So I don't want to repeat other points that have already been made, so I will end my testimony there, and I'm glad to answer questions.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
All right, where will
we? Alice Weevil and Jim Egan, please, on deck. Let's do Dana Vittens and Rod Underhill.
Good afternoon, Chair Shields and Williamson and members of the committee. My name is Alice Fidel. I am the state architect and director of facility planning with the Department of Administrative Services. And I'm here to talk about OIA's capital planning, the strategic capital plan. I've worked with OIA for the last year on their facilities and their planning efforts. I, too, went to visit Hillcrest and McLaren, and looking at those facilities and their other facilities, We did a in-depth analysis of each of their facilities with an independent facility assessment firm that quantified and prioritized all the work that needs to be done on these facilities over a 10-year period. And what we did is, this is really best practices for planning, to understand the baseline of what your facilities are, to do a gap analysis, to develop alternative plans, to select from those plans, and to prioritize your work according to the greatest needs. And that is exactly what OIA has done in its 10-year plan. So what the findings of this study were, that they had significant immediate deferred maintenance needs that had to be done on the order of about $23 million. And over 10 years, it would be an additional, $35 million. And this is just for the facilities they have right now. So looking at their business model, this obviously a change in model, the existing facilities, frankly, by and large, are not appropriate for the new model. So it makes all kinds of sense to look at developing facilities in a way that actually aligns with how you deliver your services, and that is exactly what they've done. So their first phase looks at doing quite a number of deferred maintenance projects, keeping things going, but it also consolidates their operations or moves towards consolidation, which is strategic and frankly smart. So I encourage the committee to support their plan and the first phase of work. Thank you.
Good testimony. That's helpful. I'm not sure I've ever had that kind of explanation from a third party other than the actual agency asking for it to come and kind of walk us through that. So we much appreciate that.
Certainly.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Shields, Chairman Williamson, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I'm Judge James C. Egan of the Court of Appeals. In my previous life as a circuit court judge, I served as a juvenile judge for Linn County. Then, as now, I routinely made decisions that affect the lives of children accused of acts which, if otherwise committed, would have been crimes. I was and am keenly aware of the status of children in the custody of the Oregon Youth Authority, and I routinely visit their facilities. I read the literature, and I have a good working knowledge of the tasks and challenges at hand for OIA. You may think that I'm here testifying a judge, and I am not. While I cleared my testimony with the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court and the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals and their staffs, mine is a personal testimony as a parent. My stepson, Jordan, has been in and out of the system for 6 years as a youth and as an adult. I'm here speaking from personal experience, and here with me today, I have a few people. I'm going to have them stand, if you don't mind. Jordan's mother, my wife, Michelle, Jordan's sister, Nialea, Jordan's grandparents, my in-laws, so you have to be respectful of them, Bernard and Dorothy Arnie. Thank you, folks, and go ahead and sit down. They join me in my personal testimony. As I said earlier, my professional experience with the OIA includes my time in the circuit court bench where I served as a juvenile judge in Linn County. Frankly, some of the options that OIA gave us, specialized foster care, group homes, and other treatment environments, were lifesavers for some of the kids coming from truly horrific places. For stable families like ours, dealing with an unstable kid, these options can give relief and assurance that children will receive the kind of care that might otherwise turn their lives around. These are the professional reasons for my support of the plan. Of course, I have the extraordinary experience of having been through the process with my stepson. This gives me a unique outsider's view that would otherwise, or that would encourage dollars for facilities that tend to change the necessary isolation of kids from punitive prison-like environments, walls and fences and wires, to treatment-like facilities and environments where children can deal effectively with trauma, post-traumatic stress syndrome, personality disorders, and mental illness. With me today, I have Scott Sell and Jennifer Potter, my law clerk from the Court of Appeals, the best and brightest of the attorneys who recently penned an opinion for me, because, oftentimes you don't write your own opinions, but nevertheless, they expressed the need for treatment of brain development rather than the punishment for adult crimes. This is what we're talking about, brain development versus punishment, treatment versus punishment. Given these needs, I hope that your committee will focus on the two key initiatives that the legislature asked the OIA to address in 2013, the youth reform system and the 10-year facility plan. The key efforts are the positive human development and our cultural change in the OIA, and that's very important, the 2015 legislative priorities, the juvenile justice information system, what I call data, because we need to make sure that this system is driven by the data, known effective results, known effective treatments for these kids. Health service summaries, the multicultural service summary. I could talk all day about the de facto and institutional racism and ethnocentrism, which we observed in the system, which OIA often inherits from the criminal justice system and from the judicial system, from our branch of government. You also need to focus on educational service summaries, the treatment service summary, and the summary of the feeder study, which deals with those issues that I just addressed. The legislature should enable OIA to keep going with its in this direction, which will deliver better outcomes for youth and long-term savings and prosperity for Oregon. The 10-year plan is a big ask, and OIA knows that, and I know that, but it's one of that comes with consolidation of close custody facilities, and will put us on a path more consistent with development models of juvenile justice. I think it's better to start here investing rather than waiting to pay for the price later. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm here and available for any questions. And Mr. Chairman, Ms. Chairman, I will submit my testimony in writing later if that's all right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Your Honor.
You bet.
Any questions for this panel?
Just a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
First, I'd like to thank Your Honor for coming forth and offering your testimony.
Senator Winters, you and I have been at many social functions together. I come to anything you ask me to come to. That's right.
but I do, because often, you know, and somehow sometimes the image or the perception is that it's all dysfunctional.
No.
From the standard family.
Oh, heavens
and I'm
no.
I'm just glad that you came and put the context that right. That's not all that's existing when we start talking about the issues. And so I thank you.
Yeah, I must tell you, we have wonderful foster care facilities with specialized foster care, highly trained specialized foster caregivers in OIA, and I routinely channel my kids from court, from the juvenile justice system, into those facilities with great anticipation of good results. That's the kind of thing that works, and of course, these are the programs that need to be developed over the next 10 years, those treatment programs, not those punishment programs. Yes. Maybe I'm talking too much. Anything else?
No, you're doing great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. All right. We bring up Dana Bitolins and Rod Underhill, please. On deck is Elizabeth Kushwa and Stephanie Alstead. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair Shields, members of the committee, my name is Dinah Vitalins. I am Crook County District Attorney and here in both as my in my role as Crook County District Attorney and on behalf of the Oregon District Attorneys Association to testify in support of the Oregon Youth Authority budget. As Crook County District Attorney, I work with OIA personnel directly on a very regular basis. The counselors I see in and out of court work tirelessly to put together the best possible treatment plan for the youth they serve. Crook County benefits greatly from the good work that OIA does in our community. As well as the boots on the ground employees, the managers of OIA also work tirelessly for the youth in their custody. And I'd like to give you a quick story. I was prosecuting an young man who was at McLaren, and he was regularly assaulting staff, and so I was prosecuting him for the sixth or seventh time. I received a telephone call from Joe O'Leary asking me to come to Salem and meet with the director, and I agreed to do so, but I have to tell you the drive from Prineville to Salem was filled with dark, cynical, suspicious thoughts about what was going to happen in this meeting. I met with Director Parker Escht and Deputy Director Joe O'Leary, and I learned that the director had made a personal connection with the young man that I was prosecuting. I gained a perspective and learned information that completely changed the approach to my case. And so what I would like to say is the kind of commitment shown by OIA to the youth in their custody is the kind of commitment we should have in all levels of public safety. Thank you.
Good testimony.
Thank you.
District Attorney Underhill, welcome to the committee.
Chair Shields, thank you very much. Members of the committee, my testimony is going to resemble some of that you've already heard, but a little bit of personal experience. My name's Rod Underhill again. I'm Multnomah County's district attorney. Been a prosecutor for 26 years and the elected district attorney now for the last about 2 years in Multnomah County. During that time, I did something a few months ago that I'd rarely seen in, at least in my experience and certainly my own personal experience. And that was back in November on the 13th of 2014, so just a short time ago, I wrote a letter to our then Governor Kitzhaber. I wrote that letter, and the title of the letter is, "This addresses my position regarding the executive clemency application of Sang Dao." I wrote that letter having already completed some efforts of reviewing the executive clemency petition word for word, and it was quite a novel. Together with the file, I reached out to crime victims, had the office reach out to crime victims. I met with Mr. Dao myself. I then met with my chief of police in charge of that agency that investigated those attempted murder and very serious crimes, and that was Chief Mike Carice. At the conclusion of that, I wrote a letter. Two of those sentences I'd like to read. "While I support the original sentence that was negotiated and imposed, I believe in each young person's potential for reformation. Mr. Dao appears to have realized his potential, and with this in mind, I support this executive sentence modification clemency application." Now, I am certain, and as you've heard from Judge Waller, that clemency position application was granted February 18th, and Mr. Dao will be a free man. He'll be on post-prison supervision for a while, but he'll be a free man here in a few weeks, and he earned it. Now, he is not alone in having realized his potential. You heard earlier from Noah Schultz. Noah and I have met before. Noah's still here, right? Noah and I grabbed a minute or two to talk, and he asked me how I liked his soccer initiative. Now, the title of it is the Footballeros Initiative, and I told him that I'd read it word for word, and I liked it a lot, but what I didn't tell him is I actually have it with me. And here it is, Noah. And it is outstanding. I met with him, Robert White, Stefan Fowler. We spent a few hours together. We talked about soccer. We talked about football. We also talked about more important things, frankly, and that is the potential of young people. Now, why does all this matter? And the answer is OYA. OYA matters because I have personal experience, very personal experience, about the realization of a young person's potential. You have to have an environment that gives them the opportunity to realize their potential, and that's what OYA has done for our young people. It may not be the best environment, the most perfect environment, because we could envision that, and that would be our own homes around the communities. But when we do have a situation where young people are in our Oregon Youth Authority, Oregon, that environment has now, under the leadership of Director Pekaresh and Deputy Director Joe O'Leary, has become an outstanding environment. That comes with resources, and I'll summarize because I heard the bell. It comes with resources that I hope this committee supports, because I certainly do. Thank you.
Great testimony. Thank you very much. Any questions? Let's go on to the home stretch. Let's see, Stephanie Alstad and
Elizabeth Kushwa.
On deck, Lisa Nato and Dick Withnell.
Oh, she has to be taken off.
Or just Dick as well. Withnell.
Hi. It's so nice to be here today, Chair Shields and the members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Alstead. I'm from Bend, Oregon. So, yeah, it was a bit of a drive. But a nice drive today, no snow. I am the executive director for JBARJ Youth Services, and JBARJ partners with the Oregon Youth Authority to provide residential treatment and transitional living skills for kids in the Youth Authority custody. We've been working with OYA for 20 years since its inception. I've been the director at JBARJ for 20 years approximately. I've been there about 26 years, so I've seen a lot. There was a lot of crime, juvenile crime, prior to the inception of the Youth Authority. The creation of Oregon Youth Authority in 1995 under Senate Bill 1, I believe it was then Attorney General Ted Kulongowski and Senator Gordon had created it. Since that creation, it's led to the longest period of stability for juvenile justice in Oregon history. And
I've worked with about six different directors since its inception, so I've seen a lot, and I've seen a lot of politics. So I really want to support. I want to support public safety. I want to support the Oregon Youth Authority, and I want to ask you guys to consider to support the Oregon Youth Authority. Under Faribault's leadership, OYA has become highly adaptive, data-driven agency. It's some of the best work that I've seen in the 20 years I've been here. He has just done a phenomenal job. The cultural shift to positive human development, which emphasizes assets of youth and staff, provides the best opportunity to reduce recidivism. So, again, can't say enough. On the drive over here, I was really thinking, what are we looking for as Oregonians? What are you guys looking for as this committee? And I think we all want to be safe. And so public safety is paramount. And I urge you to support the Youth Authority's budget. Thank you so much. And I do have written testimony that I'll leave as well.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're really blessed to have Stephanie in our community. She has run this organization. It's very critical. We're proud of her. We're proud of her fundraising effort, and I'm sure every one of the you'll have to send invitations to every one of the committee to come over and support your big fundraiser, the High Desert Classic Steeplechase.
Yes, we would love to have all of you. Bend is fun in the summer.
Agreed.
Yes.
Skateboard J's been around for a long time.
Since 1968.
Yes, because you were around when we started Children's Services Division. So I can remember those days.
I can't. I'm really younger than that. Did I?
We will.
Safe trip home.
You were.
Sorry, I gave it away earlier. I've been there almost 30 years.
She was doing pretty good for a while.
She was doing great until she said that.
Good afternoon, Chair Shields, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Kushwa. I am the Strategic Director for Children First for Oregon. Children First's mission is to make long-term systemic change by advocating for policies and programs that strengthen families and support children's health, safety, and education. And it's in that role that I'm able to sit here and support OYA's budget. OYA efficiently works to get the best possible treatment for youth, their health, and their safety. In addition, one of the hallmarks of Children First is that we are data-driven. And in that respect, no matter how efficiently OYA works, they really need those extra few positions to help increase their research capacity. You know, in this body, as the years have gone by, everybody wants to hear two things. We want to see data. We want to see evidence-based practices, right? OYA is doing that, and they need your help to continue to do it more effectively. Thank you very much.
Short and sweet. Any questions for this panel? All right. Before we go on to BAM, is there anybody else who wanted to testify? There were a couple of names written that we weren't quite sure about. Anybody else want to testify? All right. Can we bring up?
Yeah, 12 of our youth.
Oh, okay. Oh. Come on up. Welcome to the committee.
I'm not a youth, just to clarify. I'm actually Deanna, and I am Drex's probation officer with the Oregon Youth Authority.
Introduce yourself. My name is Drex. I've been OYA for almost 2 years now, and I don't know, I've had a pretty good experience with OYA. It's really helped me. I've been to a lot of non-OYA based treatment facilities throughout my life since about 14, and once I went OYA, the way they came across and the way they showed me their like treatment services, it really changed how I viewed things. And I decided, after I went OYA, I decided I wanted to change, and they were there to help me really change who I wanted to be. And a lot of vocational training, mental health training, or treatment, just things like that really turned me around. A lot of resources I couldn't utilize when I was not OYA. I made support decisions to get to OYA, but once I was there, they helped me make better decisions and change how I saw things.
Okay.
And currently now I'm working my way out a couple more months until I'm off OA, so I've been doing very well. Yeah, I've been working on my education, going back to school and stuff, getting my GED, working on getting a job and steady place and income, things like that.
Great. Thank you very much for telling your story. It's really important that we hear that.
Yeah. Okay.
You're good?
We're good.
All right. Good. Thank you very much for coming and your testimony. All right, bring up BAM, Art Air.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee and staff. My name is Art Ayer. I'm with the Chief Financial Office with the Department of Administrative Services, and I'm here to give you a brief and high-level overview of the governor's budget for the Oregon Youth Authority. I think I'll skip the first slide in the interest of time. It's self-explanatory, and go right to the graph that shows the 11-13 actual expenditures, the current bienniums legislatively approved through December of 2014, limitations and appropriations, and then the governor's proposed budget for 2015-17. You can see an increase in the middle bar there. It actually looks about the same color on the screen as the bottom bar. The bottom bar is general fund. The middle bar is other funds. The increase in the middle bar, the middle section there, is about $27.5 million, and really that is explained by the capital construction projects that actually total a total of $33.9 million, $33.3 million of that being the actual construction project, and the other almost $600,000 being the cost of issuance. In addition, the general fund increases by $15.2 million in the governor's budget, most of that being regular inflation, but also $3.5 million of new debt service for the capital construction projects. The here you see a narrative of the investments and the capital construction project, again, $33.9 million, $3.5 million for the general fund related to those capital construction projects, and then several packages that move some money around within the department to provide funding for three positions, 4.5 FTE, for positions such as psychologists, psychiatrists, qualified mental health professional, and transition specialists. The governor's budget does include a reduction of $2.3 million in general fund from community services, and that was a reduction that was made in the process of trying to meet a general fund target within public safety. The major issues in the budget, obviously, as has been discussed, the 10-year facilities plan, a large capital investment over a period of years, roughly $97 million. The governor's budget proposes the first roughly third of that, and then continued funding for youth reformation system, and the agency talked a little bit about that earlier. There is a correction that I would ask the committee to consider to the appropriation bill. It results from an action I took out of some ignorance that I thought was actually improving the situation, and it did not. I combined several appropriations into a single appropriation, and it turns out that it really should have been separated out. So I'm asking the committee to consider separating it back out to the way it was in the current biennium. Comparing the governor's budget to the co-chair's framework, we don't have a lot of details in the co-chair's framework, but from what I could discern, it appears that the major difference is that the co-chair's framework does not, as it is designed, provide for the capital construction and the debt service related to that capital construction. So that completes my presentation. I'd be happy to field your questions.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, we have one more young person from OIA who would like to say a few words, if you come forward. And
we would like to talk to the co-chairs about this.
What's that?
I talked to the co-chairs about construction budget.
Good afternoon. I'm Rod Salinas. I'm his probation officer, parole probation officer.
Great. Oh, good afternoon. My name is Manuel Sanchez, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about my story and how I got put in OIA. Well, I grew up in Mexico in a broken home. I didn't really have my father. I came to the United States when I was 13 years old and started using drugs. I didn't know English, so that was a form of socializing for me. I used drugs and started committing crimes and stuff. I got put in on Marion County probation. I was in it for 2 years. And then I was committed to OIA. I still had the negative thinking. I relapsed a bunch of times. I committed crime after crime. And then when I was released to OIA, I was sent to correctional facility where I received treatment for my drug addiction, my negative thinking, social skills. I'm thankful to OIA. I don't know what would be of my life as today if I wasn't put in those programs. I don't know where I'll be right now. I'll probably be dead. God knows. I'm thankful because the OI is going to continue for further. I know that crime and drugs is never going to end, and there's going to be younger generations for me. And so it's good that OI is here to help them and help them get out from drug addiction and all that stuff that's going on through young person's life that many people don't know about. And so it's nice to have someone there who really care about you, because all the people that I met through OIA, I can tell that they care and they love their job and they do it genuinely, and they care for the people. So I'm thankful for OIA. I got my GED. I'm getting my education. Currently I'm working and I'm paying rent. I live with my mom and I'm doing way better than what I used to do. So that's good stuff.
Thanks for coming to tell your story. It's very important that we put a face to some of the funding questions that we have to make.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Great, thank you. All right, I think we're done. Yes? All right. Colleagues, we have tell us about tomorrow and
tomorrow beyond. You have district attorneys.
Okay.
And public testimony for them.
Great. And we are adjourned.